Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Psalm 16, Tetzayin. Michtam le David, Shamreini El ki chasiti bach. Reciting this psalm brings back memories for me of being a rabbi in Vancouver and presiding at over 100 funerals. Either at the cemetery or at the Shiva house, the psalm was recited melodiously by the cantor. Chazal in the Midrash suggests that some of the verses refer to Olam Haba and what will happen to the individual after death. So it was recited originally at a funeral while wishing upon the departed that they will not end up below but find solace in the world to come. Now the psalm has complicated language which confused many commentaries. We will translate most of the verses and then try to understand the nature of this mizmor. Amos Chacham notes that the first verse is the only one that calls out directly to God and perhaps should be seen as a title disconnected from the flow of the psalm. And thus, the remainder of the psalm he divides into three sections. In verses 2 to 4, David has a conflict with other gods and a battle with them. In 5 to 8, he talks about his gratitude for his good lot. And in 9 to 11, his joy and trust in God's protection. The Mizmor translates as follows. Michtam le David, Shamreini El ki chasiti bach, a michtam, it's a new word for us, of David. Guard me, God, for I have trusted in you. Amart l'Adonai, Adonai ata, tovati bal alecha. You said to God, we're going to try to figure out who he's talking to, you are my God, there is no good without you. Liktoshima Sheba Aretz Hema Vadireko Chetzebam, Yerbu Atzvotam Acher Maharu Valasich Niskehemidam, Valasach Motam Al Svatai. To those foolishly, seemingly holy people, he says somewhat sarcastically, who worship other gods and put their faith in them, I let their idols increase, he says mockingly. I will certainly not engage in their blood libations, nor will I ever put their names on my lips. Rather, Adonai menat chalki v'kosi, ata tomich goreli. God is my portion and my share. You guide my destiny. Chavalim nafuli banimim af nachlat shafra alai. I place God in front of, I'm sorry. Avarech et Adonai asher ya'atzani af lelot yisruni chliotai. I will bless God, for he has given me good counsel. Shiviti Adonai l'negdi tamid ki mimini bal emot. I place God in front of me always, for as he is on my right, I shall never falter. The final section, L'chein tzamach libi v'yagel kvodi, af b'sari yishkon l'betach, ki lo tazov nashi lishol, ki lo titen chasidcha lirot shachat, todieni orachayim sova smachot et panecha, mi'imot b'min chanetzach. These three verses relate to some notion of the afterlife, according to the Midrash. Therefore, my heart shall rejoice and my glory will sing, even my flesh will rest in safety. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, you will not let your righteous see death. Rather, show me the path of life, the fullness of joy in your presence. Ni'imot, there's goodness. And eternity in your right hand. What is a michtam? Certainly, we've seen a lot of titles in our analysis already up till now, but usually, and there still is one position that says it has to do with some kind of musical instrument. Perhaps. Other calls it some kind of letter that was engraved in stone. And Amos Chacham outright states that this word is just ambiguous in definition. We'll come back to it. A few more questions. Who is the author speaking to in verse 2 when he said, you said to God, you are my God? Now, another thing we notice in the psalm is that in verse 2, there's a reference to the past, what happened. In verse 5, Shiviti Hashem in the present. And verses 7 and 11, something about the future. Why is this psalm recited at funerals, and what is the meaning of all of these verses? Perhaps actually the psalm is asking us to think about past, present, and future with God in mind. And perhaps the meaning, as one commentator explains, of michtam is based on the word ketem, a stain. But a stain or a mark on your heart that should never go away. Rav Shem Shnofarel Hirsch explains it beautifully. The superscription michtam seems to denote a psalm that David has recorded for himself as an everlasting memorial, a tenet to which he would adhere forever. Hirsch refers to one moment in David's life when he just barely escaped from peril as that moment which he would remember eternally and the one about which he writes now. With whom is David conversing and encouraging in the second verse? I believe the answer is he's doing it with himself. He says to himself, remember that time, that moment when you were eclipsed with godliness? It was a time when, in a state of euphoric revelation, David trusted in God and realized the futility of life without God. And now he returns to those thoughts. Now, as perhaps he watches a friend being buried, when he's reminded of the ephemeral nature of things and the futility of a life without God, he says, I see the futility of those who pour libations of blood and worship others. I would never even enter those names into my lips. But instead, he says, the Lord who I've accepted as my portion, menat chelki, you hold my fate, ata tomich gorali. Certain times in our lives are possible turning points, and yet sometimes they're missed opportunities. David perhaps is going through such an experience and is not letting it slip away. Perhaps we learn from David from this point how to grab on to such moments. We must recall that moments, those moments, and recognize that these past experiences can be actualized right now through rejecting the idols and ideals of a sophisticated yet godless society. The next step David takes is to pledge to change in the immediate future. Avarech et Adonai asher ya'atzani. I will bless God who has counseled me righteously. Despite my passions and sometimes that they disrupt me and distract me and diminish me at nights, to stand up and state confidently that even when I sin in the night, I will continue to rise in the morning and bless God. It's not a double standard, but a struggle, a constant battle with myself, my desires, my inclinations. But if I look into my past, remember the spiritual moment that stained me forever in a positive way, left a mark on me, if I internalize it in the present and hope for the future, I will succeed. One of the most known aphorisms of classical biblical literature appears in verse 8 in this psalm. Shiviti Adonai l'negdi tamid, ki mimini balemot. I have set God before me, as always, with him on my right, and I will never falter. Once again, we see the word bal emot, to falter, just to be unsteady, which we've seen in several of the Mizmorim. In light of the message of the psalm, this is then the leitmotif of the entire message that he's trying to convey. The way in which David will accomplish his task is to set God in front of him at all times. How different would it be if he was able to act that way, that God was in front of him at all times? Powerful. You should note that this line is often the front of the Amud where the Shliach Tzibur stands, where the person who prays in the synagogue, this one line appears. And the Ramah, Ramosha Isserlish, started his whole commentary on Jewish law quoting this one verse. Hirsch writes in conclusion, there are those who labor under the delusion that God must be conceived of as someone who towers from above, far above earthly affairs, and who thinks that all things terrestrial to be far below him. But as for me, says David, my conception of him is very different. I have perceived his presence on the level of my own earthly existence. I no longer seek him in the heights, but I have set him before my eyes in everything I do on earth. Nothing here below is so small or insignificant that God would be indifferent to it. Whatever I am, whatever I wish to accomplish, lies clearly before his eyes. I shall hold fast to this conviction tamid, forever, and shall never again allow myself to succumb to even one moment of weakness. We can live for the moment in despair about our inconsistencies, or we can rise and build on those historical moments when God was directly before us internalize them through the present, and vow to always, without fail, bless God who has counseled us. Shalom.